You know, that song talked about contrasting times. When things are good, when they're not so good, God's still there. I am thankful for that. I'd like to, again today, talk about giving. And a lot of times when we hear that word, we think about the offering that we just took up. But it takes in so much more than that. I was thinking about, we want to be able to give of ourselves to others. But I was looking at Matthew 25, a parable that was given of 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. You know, there was a time that all of them were prepared. It was just that time kept on passing and 5 of them had leaked out. But there came a time when those 5 foolish ones realized our oil is gone. And they came to the wise and said, give us of your oil. Ours has run out. You know, how would you feel tomorrow on your job if someone came to you and said, I would like for you to tell me how to get saved. I want to get saved. Boy, that'd be wonderful. You would like that opportunity. But you know, there will come a time when, what did they say? Not so, lest give us of your oil. Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But even then, they gave the call, go to the one that sells oil and be able to get it. Well, you know, that's talking about there will come a time when we won't be able to give to others to help them out. But, you know, I want us in this day and time to be able to the world, the scripture that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How can we do that to the world? The best way we can do it is the example we live. You know, we're going to need to be able to show them that I enjoy what I've got. And you know what? The light shines brighter the darker it gets around us. When this world is good is evil and evil is good. Light is now considered dark and dark is considered light. But you know what? At the same time, I still want to be willing to give while I can give to others around me. So what about in life in general? I was thinking of this subject for today that I'd like for us to look at. Given of myself in adversity. You know, it's pretty easy when the sun's shining. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You know, I've got reserves then that I could easily give to others. Emotional. I've got reserves that I could help other people out. But then things change and we're down in the valley. Can we still, at that time when conditions change for us, and it'll do it for every one of us, and we find out how quick it can do it, you know, we're only one phone call away from us feeling like we're on top of the mountain or we're down in the valley with lots of troubles. And I have, if someone were to call me right then needing something from me, needing some emotional strength from me, I could say, I'm barely making it on my own. You're going to have to call somebody else. I've got troubles that have come to me. Can we come to a place that in the middle of adversity, I still have some reserves that I could give to others? I'd like to look at a verse over in Psalms 137, because here was a group of people that they had no reserves. I don't have anything that I can give. I've got enough trouble of my own. Don't have anything to give you back. Look at this verse, Psalms 137, and starting in the first verse. These people are in slavery now. You know, we don't even understand what that is, because here in America, we have never known that. We have not known it. We are free people. But look at this one. By the rivers of Babylon, where there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now you look at this one and think in your own life when things have happened that have given you a tumble in your emotions and your strength where I'm not sure I have anything that I could give to somebody else. When I remembered Zion, when they remembered what it was like when they were free people, maybe living in Jerusalem and going to worship on the Sabbath day, but it's no longer happening now. We're in captivity. Look at this next verse. Here's what we did. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. What is this saying? They said, you know what, when we came into captivity here, we left our song behind us. If I were able to live in Jerusalem, I'd have a song. I'm over here in captivity, don't ask me for a song. Does that have anything to do with us today? I think it does. Because, you know, we're living in a time where people have a lot of troubles. And they may come to us. I can look at this right here. It says, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Now, you know what? I'd like to put the most positive light on this one as possible. That possibly those people, when they brought them into captivity, they had heard some of the songs that would be sung back there at Jerusalem. And the happiness that you could just feel it. Some of these songs that we sing, when we sing that 61, salvation's free, glad joy to all, you can just feel the happiness in it. And now, but wait a minute. I'm no longer in this place where I feel good. I've got these troubles. Can I still sing the song? You know what? Salvation is still just as free. It's got glad joy for all. But these folks said, these captors are asking us to sing a song. You know, what if they had been in a place where they could say, hey, we're in captivity, but I tell you what, we're still free in our soul. God is still here with us. Oh yes, we'd love to sing you a song that we sang back there. Because we're going to be able to witness to you here and really have it from the heart. But instead, what they're saying is, nah, we've hung our harps up on the willow trees. We have nothing that we can give to anybody around us. And they say in the fourth verse, how are we going to sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, how do I live my life? Is it that when I'm on the mountaintop, I'm singing, I am so happy things are going well? But what about then things change and it can change very quickly? Can I still sing the Lord's song when I'm in a strange land, when things have turned around for me? What I want to do is look at some examples of people that were able to do it. And then it went on down even more. So if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. In other words, I want to spend my time thinking about what it could have been. You know what the thinking that they were doing of Jerusalem was not causing them to say, oh, I tell you, we remember those good times. Get the harp down and let's start playing and singing. We can have a rejoicing time here. It didn't do it. Instead, it's almost like, if I were to be happy, it would not be good. I shouldn't be happy when I'm in this captivity. You know, we can kind of feel that way sometimes ourselves. How should I be rejoicing when I've got this trouble all around me? It's not even a good thing to be. It's almost like saying to others around me, it doesn't bother me that much. No, what it wants to do is, no matter where I am, and right now you can probably think of some, we'll look at them in a little bit, that went into captivity, but they did not leave their song in Jerusalem. They continued on realizing, you know what, God's right here, just like he always has been. And I've got something that I can still give to those around me. So as I looked at that, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Whether I'm in captivity or whether I'm free with everything going good, I appreciate the song because it tells us whether I'm up here or whether I'm down here, got troubles one day or I don't have troubles, I can still with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know, when the widow, when Jesus noticed her putting her money in the offering box, you know, she didn't make a scene about it. She didn't have much money to give, but it was all she had. And when she cast it in, he said, you know what? She has put in more than all of the others. It didn't, money-wise, it wasn't more, but she was giving her all to it. And I think that's what is valuable for us. Let's give ourselves wholly to the Lord. Because there's a verse of a song, oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings. You know, we all want blessings in our life. And we can figure out how we get them. It's up here on the mountaintop. It's when the blessings flow. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed until body and soul he doth fully control and our all on the altar is laid. You know, at that time when we live in that place, whether I'm up on here, I have something to give to others. Whether I'm down in the valley, I still can give something to others. And where all this started was over in 2 Corinthians. Remember in the 8th chapter, Paul was taking up a collection. What he was just expecting was what we did this morning was, I've got some people that have a need of some financial help. And so we're putting out the plea to people to give an offering. It's a free will offering. But he said something about those people of the church of Macedonia in the second verse. It's talking about the churches of Macedonia. They had deep poverty themselves. In other words, it's saying, you know what? Those folks, if you'd looked at their bank accounts, they had every reason to say, hey, you're going to have to check with us later. Things have not gone well for us. We don't have anything to give. And I'm not interested in us thinking about money today. I'm interested in us thinking about what do I have to give to others of emotional strength that I could give out to someone else. Because I tell you, it's real easy for me. If I've got the mountaintop right now, I got something to give. I can encourage you. But I tell you what, if I'm down in the valley and I got troubles, you'll have to check with me later because I don't have anything to give. And yet there's a place, I believe there's a place for us all to be able to minister when conditions are not well for us. Because what they said about them was in the 5th verse, the first thing they did was they gave themselves to the Lord. And when we have done that, you know what, we can have some reserves, whether it's good times or whether it's bad times. Given ourselves in adversity, I'd like for us to look at an example of that. In 2 Kings tells us in this, you know, some of these stories can pass by so easy that we not even hardly notice it. But we're talking about in adversity, I'm still able to give to the needs of others. Look at this one. Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And it says the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. Can you put yourself in those shoes? Would you have any reserves that you could, you know, first thing is the verse that tells us, beware lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. This is a fine opportunity for this person, this child that was taken maybe from her parents, brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife because she just loved for her life. This is what I'd like to do. No, this is what's required of her now. But I look at this next verse. She said, you know, life is easy when you're up on the mountain, but then things change and you're down in the valley. Surely she was down in the valley when she's a captive. Her parents aren't there. And yet, look at what she did. She said to her mistress, he's probably got it because he took me captive and he deserves it. You know, some people would look at it that way. Instead, she said, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy. You know, how would you like to be able to live in a place that when you have been able to do wrong, you know, we hear about turning the other cheek. But what if you could do it with joy, be able to give back? And I believe that's what she did. She could have easily said, I tell you what, I'll take you to him if you'll take me back home again and turn me loose. We don't ever read anything about that. She was probably at home when he was well and came back again. But what she had was, while she's down in the valley, she was able to have a desire. Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy. No strings attached to it. I would just like to be able to help you out. And here I've got all these problems that I'm faced with anyhow. Who else did it? Joseph. You know, when he was sent into captivity, a slave, You know, we can't even imagine what it would be, what the emotional drain would be to know that I have just been bought off the block and I am now owned by this other man and he can tell me what I want, whatever he wants done. Potiphar. You know what? From the very beginning, though, there's something about Joseph's life that he was able to give of himself in the middle of adversity. While trouble was all around him, and now he's a slave himself, and no future, you know, it's not like, okay, I'll be a servant for a year and then you have to turn me loose. No, he's that for the rest of his life, as far as he can see. But we see him time after time giving of himself. If I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be the best slave I can be. And he started causing and God stepped in. That's what I think is very important for us to realize. When I have the attitude that, okay, I'm in adverse conditions, but I tell you what, I'm going to find the very best I can in it. And I'm going to do what I can to help others. That's what he did. And God blessed his efforts to where Potiphar himself could see it. But then things changed for Joseph again, and now he's in prison. You know, he could easily said, I have nothing I can do for anyone else. I'm just in a survival mode myself. I don't even understand what God is doing with my life. But you know what? Joseph somehow was able to come to a place that, okay, today, I know I had those dreams that said I was going to be somebody one day. I'm going to have to shelve those because I'm sitting here in prison. So today I'm going to do the very best that I can. Because what did it say? Before long, he was like the leader there was trusting Joseph so much that he had confidence in him. And then you remember when the two men came in and they had dreams. You know, Joseph could have had no reserves. I have nothing that I can help anybody else with. And he could have said, hey, I'm a dreamer myself. I had dreams and boy, they have crashed. I thought I was going to be somebody. And here I am sitting in prison. Don't even tell me your dream. But instead, he's got the reserves that he can lay his aside and he can help someone else that is in need. I think that is very important for us. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know one thing. Time can change so fast for us. I can be on the mountaintop with no problems. And all of a sudden, and Sister Maxine is our example right now. You know what? And it can happen. The same thing can happen to us so quick. So now I'm not on the mountaintop. I'm in the valley. I'm going through this trouble. But can I have some reserves that I can feed others? And I want to tell you, we're able to watch this happening today. We don't have to go back to Joseph. We don't have to go back to these people. I am thankful that God is allowing Sister Maxine, is helping Sister Maxine, that when she's laying flat on her back, she could easily say, Lord, I tell you what, I'll preach again when you bring me out of this. You know, you could do that. But instead, she, while I am in this, I will still be able to feed other people. There was an example, it's in 1 Kings. I'd like for us to think about this for a little bit. In 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. You know, this is talking about when Elijah had told the king, it's not going to rain again until I say so. You know, a famine is going to help. A drought is going to affect a lot of people. It's going to affect Elijah. Remember where God sent him down to the brook and fed him? Well, when you have no rain, after a while, the brook's going to dry up. And so God sends him on to meet up with someone else. And in the 9th verse, put yourself in this place. It says, behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose, he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, because see, famine had come to her also. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. You know what she's saying is, you know what? I'm in this desperate place. I don't have anything. I don't have any reserves to be able to give out to someone else. I am about to go under myself. And look at what he tells her. Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son." Boy, that's quite a... Somehow she must have got something in her mind to realize this is not just a beggar off the street. How is it that she knew that? Because she started out with saying, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Somehow she must have had some confidence that he had a contact with God. And then he tells her, "Make me a cake first, bring it to me. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not. So I look at these places. You know, he could have said the barrel will be full to the top. You'll just be scraping off the top to keep it from running over. But instead, I can kind of see she did the same scraping every day. There's just enough in the bottom, but she was able to take care of the needs that there were. I was thinking also of another group of people, because you know when a person is a slave, they're not building a bank account. They're not building up a financial empire. They're just existing. They're owned by someone else. So how would it have been when the children of Israel were in Egypt? For the years that they were there, they're about to leave. And I was thinking of this in the 12th chapter of Exodus. They're about to go. Well, you know what? They don't have a whole lot themselves to be able to take. But what has just happened? The death angel has come by. And a lot of people have died. And those folks, the Egyptians, would like for the children of Israel to be gone. And look at what happened in this in the 12th chapter and in the 35th verse. The children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, you know, when I look at this, borrowing means you're going to bring it back. But it says that that word is not that they were asking them, just give me some things. And they were, we're like dead men. You take what you need. And they gave them a lot of things. Well, the reason I'm wanting to mention that is they had no income when they went into the wilderness. They're just moving through to their place. And then all of a sudden, God asked for something. In Exodus 25, and I'd like for us to think, when we're in adversity, can I give? Do I have any reserves that I can give? In 25:8, God's asking for something. He says, "Okay, I would like for you to build me a sanctuary so that I can dwell among you." And then he goes down and gives them the requirements for it. Well, where are they going to get the resources to be able to build that? Look at how they came about it. In 25:1-7, the Lord spake to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering." Now, you know what? He could have said, "I'm standing here watching it and they die if they don't give enough," but he didn't do that. "Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take an offering." Well, you know what happened? We see the end of this over in Exodus 36. So easy it could have been people saying, "You know what? I'm in the valley of my life right now. Yes, we did. We got a lot of things from the Egyptians, but I'm saving that because one of these days I want to be able to, when we do settle down, that's my only thing that I've got to live off of. So I know you asked us to make you a house, but I don't have any reserves that I could give." But look at what they did. In 36, they had, it says in the second verse, "Every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to the work. So there were people that knew how to build different things, and they offered their services. And then it says on the third verse, they received of Moses all the offerings. So the children of Israel have been asked, will you give to this, want to build a sanctuary for the Lord? And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. They brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. So they didn't just give, okay, I'll give this. But tomorrow, okay, you need something else, so I give. But remember, he's saying, give willingly. Well, did they have to keep on drumming it up, saying, hey, you know what, they're not giving. You're going to have to start a campaign to get them to give more. Look at what happened in here. And this says something about the men, the workers, that they spake to Moses, fifth verse, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. You know, that's some kind of attitude. Oh, there's just way too many jewels coming in for what we're needing. I need you to tell the people, save it, keep it for themselves now they've given what we need. Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp. Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. The people were restrained from bringing. You know, I'm thinking about this. In the times that I'm in the valleys of my life, do I have any reserves that I can still give the Lord? And I'm not talking about money. I'm still talking about emotional reserves. Because what I can be is just, I could be like the children of Israel could have been. Look, I have nothing. I haven't been able to work all my life for an income, and I've got this little bit of stuff that I got from the Egyptians. I can't give it. But instead, they gave so willingly of themselves in a time of adverse conditions that they finally had to say, okay, we're going to have to get you to stop, need you to be able to stop. So can we, in our adverse times, still be able to give? Daniel, as far as I know, he died in captivity. He was taken a captive when he was a young man. Remember the verse that says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know what? When you have a root of bitterness, are you going to have any reserves to be able to help other people? It all turns in. It's all about me now. He could have done that. He could have said, you know what? It's good enough for the king that he can't remember his dream. I'm not even going to go to the Lord to ask. But you know what? He was available to be able to, and you could tell he had a desire to be able to be of help. Kind of like Joseph. Okay, here's where God has me today. So I'm going to see what I can do to help others. You remember where he hears the proclamation, if you continue to pray to anyone but the king, you'll go to the lion's den. And when he went to the lion's den and the king came the next morning, has God saved you? You know, Daniel could have had some reserves down inside that would not be helpful. You know, he could have come out of there and said, what were you thinking anyhow? Because you know, the king had respect for Daniel before that happened. He was desiring to be able to set him free, but couldn't. But instead, what did Daniel say when he came out? He had some reserves on hand. O king, live forever. Can we do that to the world around us today? Look, I want the best for you in your life, even when you are causing difficulties in mine. He was able to give of himself. And I'm thinking in this day and time, the light that shines the brightest is when we have adverse times going on and I still can care about other people and the needs that they have. So another one was Apostle Paul. You remember where he said, my heart's desire for Israel is, I got one desire. I want them to be saved. And then he goes around and he's healing some people, and he is very popular in the 14th chapter of Acts. In fact, he's so popular that they decide that he is one of the gods and they're going to worship him. And you can move from being on the mountaintop of everybody liking you to down in the valley very quickly. We saw the same thing happen to Jesus. When he came into Jerusalem riding on the colt, there were multitudes welcoming him to come in. He was a week from hanging on the cross and no one there to stand with him. The same was happening with Paul. My desire is that Israel be saved. And before that chapter ended, when they were going to make him a god, thinking he was a god, before that chapter ended, they had stoned him and left him for dead. You know what? He could have said, I have no more reserves. That was some of the Israel that did it. That wasn't the Romans that did it. That was his own people that he desired to be saved. And he could have said, I have no more reserves. I'm not desiring to help anymore. But instead he got up, and I could just kind of see him dusting himself off and saying, I still have a mission to be able to go to. What about for us? You know, sometimes I can say, I don't have any talent. I don't have any ability to be able to have resources for other people. And then what I need to remember is, with a multitude of people needing food, and there's a little lad that has just a little bit of fish, a little bit of bread, won't even start to help with the need that there is. You know, we can look at the world's conditions around us and say, you know what, the little bit that I have won't even start to help the problems that there are today. But you know what, they wouldn't have been fed from those fish if he hadn't have given the little bit that he had. May we be able to see, it's real easy for us to see the darkness that's in the world around us. But Lord, help us to be able to see the opportunities that that darkness provides for us. Our light can shine brighter, and a lot of times it happens in times of adversity. But if I'm not careful, I'll say, you know what, I don't have much to be able to give, so I won't give. But there's a verse in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Because, you know, sometimes not much is asked of us. 10 and 42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water. You know what? That's sometimes so small of a benefit that we just kind of pass it by. But, you know, we find sometimes we'll say, there's just not much I can do to help somebody. You know, Sister Holly had a few weeks ago gotten some packets and said, if somebody want to pass these packets out to some homeless people, well, downtown is where there's a lot of homeless people. So I started taking those packets and I put in a bottle of water. You know what? This says, if you will give a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. You know, on a 100-degree day, I haven't had anybody turn down a packet that had a bottle of water in it. And we can say, you know what, there's just nothing I can do to help. But sometimes just the small things. Let's don't pass it up. And when we're having adverse conditions ourselves, may we be able to look around me and say, you know what, I can still be a help to someone else. There is a song that I'd like to read the words of. It says, in the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the master's voice is calling to the harvest. He's calling you. It says, does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he will not forsake his own. You know, sometimes we can think, well, this is just so small, it really won't matter. But always remember the cup of cold water. Sometimes just a very small thing can be a help. It says, are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle in a sacred place of prayer. And when I saw this verse, Aunt Nelda came to my mind. You want to talk about adverse conditions? When you could easily say, don't call me up. I don't have any reserves. I'm just trying to survive on my own. But you know what you could count on if you ever called her? She took your case to the Lord in prayer. She laid aside all the needs that she had, and she would focus. I can remember when we would go to India, she said, I tell you what, my prayers will follow you, and I could count on it. She would be sending up the prayers. When she was really in a place, are you laid aside from service? It seemed like, you know what, there's nothing that she can do. You know what? It would be easy for us to think of Sister Maxine today as laid aside from service. Not much she can do. But you know what? I am so thankful. It says, you can still be in the battle She's still in the battle with us. In fact, I think she has a message for us this afternoon. To be able to, while I'm in my adverse conditions, I still have something that I can do. It says, when the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we're faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. I want to be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then the chorus is, little is much, if God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it, if you will go in Jesus' name. So I'd like for us in these days out ahead, and it seems like we're in some dark times, but let's realize that, you know what, in the middle of adversity, I can still have something to give. And may I not look at it and say, but you know what? It's not as much as someone else could give, so I think I'll not give at all. But in these times, remember Daniel. Looked like if there's anybody that could have said, I have nothing to give. Or the little maid that wished she could have been home with mom and dad, if that's the way it was. But she still had something to give. When she saw that he had, her master had the troubles that she had, that he had, she was able to have a desire. I wish he could be helped. That's my only desire, is I wish he could be helped. No strings attached. May we each one give of ourselves. It's pretty easy when I'm up on the mountaintop to have an encouraging word that I can give to others. But may I be able to, whenever I'm down on the valley, in the valley, still be able to have some reserves that I can help those around me. I desire your prayers.